Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June the 19th, 171st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the meteorologist in charge. She is the boss of Woodley Island, Nancy D.
Welcome, Brian. Good to be here.
Oh, welcome. She's welcoming me. See, I told you that boss thing. It just took, what, about 5 seconds. Boom. Quick turnaround. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the things that you might not expect the Weather Department, Weather Bureau, Weather Service to be involved with or even to be monitoring. So we'll kind of do one of those did you know kinds of shows, and we'll do it when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 309. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Nancy Dean, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Ben Hogan. Golf is not a game of good shots. It's a game of bad shots. Yeah, no kidding. Really illustrated last week at the Olympic Club. Okay, a little bit of golf reference. No, never mind. Nancy, what is the biggest surprise that somebody either visiting the offices or someone in casual conversation with somebody that works for the Weather Service has when they find out that the service is involved with fill in the blank?
Well, probably the biggest one is tsunamis. But the concern that we have, especially this time of year, is people going out on the rivers. And, I mean, we've got great rivers up here. They're just gorgeous rivers, a lot to take advantage of, you know, going all the way from the Chetco, the Smith, the Klamath, the Trinity, you know, the Eel, the Van Dusen.
Even the Eel.
Even the Eel. You know, are all great rivers. It's, you know, it gets hot inland. We're flirting with 100 degree temperatures. You know, we did last weekend, and so it, you know, it's summertime, and people want to go to the river. But you know, unfortunately, as beautiful as they are, they can also occasionally come back and bite us. And we've had, you know, just you were saying when we were off air that, you know, there has been a couple deaths already up on the Chetco. And last year, closer to home, you know, we had a couple of deaths on our local rivers here in Humboldt County. And so, and over the past 5 years, we've had 25 deaths.
It's almost a new year. There always seems to be some reason. Do you think it's more ignorance? Or folks who haven't grown up on the rivers? Or getting ripped and letting your guard down, particularly with the rivers, you know, different obviously with the ocean, but with the rivers, what do you see as the leading cause?
I think just people underestimate what they can do, and I mean, we've even had Coast Guard, you know, rescue swimmers who've gotten into trouble, you know, and these are obviously people who know how to swim, are in great physical condition, but that's cold water out there. And that can cause, you know, paralysis of, you know, you can't move your arms, you can't move your legs. And, you know, so if you're not prepared for that, and, you know, ideally you would be wearing a life vest for something like that, so it'll keep your head up out of the water and, you know, give you time for someone else to come in and save you. So I think just it's more a lot of people underestimating what the river can really do. I mean, the fast current, there's a lot of things in the river that can pull you down and that won't let you come back up.
Well, particularly with the water flow that they're letting out of the dams early in the season. And I guess last year, I forget who, Ryan Sundberg, was sharing that they were releasing out of Trinity Dam
right. All
year long, and that there were people who just didn't get into the river. There was no warming of the river, the Trinity, last year because they were continuing to let and release out of the bottom of the where it's cold.
Right.
That's a different dynamic from when I was growing up. You know, you're tubing, you know, if you weren't in by Memorial Day, something was wrong, or it was rainy and lightning storms, and you could putz around, and sometime around August refreshing was not a word that was accompanying jumping in the river. Wet was, but it wasn't that cool
right,
at all.
It had warmed up by that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so things have really changed in how the rivers are sourced also.
Yeah, and so it is keeping it a lot colder, and that's especially a problem, you know, up on the Trinity. And, you know, and they may do special releases to kind of replicate what the natural river would do if the dam wasn't, you know, dams weren't up there. So sometimes you'll get, you know, exceptionally high releases because of that. And so we try to get the word out about that.
Well, I think there's a lot more activity on the rivers, too, with the kayaking and the, you know, used to be tubing. I guess I can't even say that. It's been so long. Yeah, 30 years ago, I mean, it sounds like I'm as old as I am. That's not fair. But there's the commercial rafting guys are there now
right.
who know what's going on. The kayakers, there's a lot of that recognition now of some of the fives and the four great rapids that really are attractions for a number of the rivers in our area, whether mm-hmm. it's the Smith or you know, the Rogue certainly has got it well developed. When you see those types of things or you see that there's a storm coming in or when you're looking at your long terms, are river conditions anything that you guys look at or is this purely a water safety component?
In the summertime, it's more of a water safety issue. So just reminding people that, you know, the water's cold. If you get caught in it, that you're going to get potentially, you know, cold water paralysis, and you might get pulled under because of the currents and everything like that. So especially you can wear a life jacket. There's places in Humboldt County, up in Hoopa, Willow Creek, and Garberville, that will actually have life jackets that you can borrow from them for the day. So that's really great.
Now, roast, jump in from the rock, but don't go drifting through the rapids. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in the wintertime, then the storm's coming in and what it's going to do to the river and flooding and things like that.
That's where you run in the steel kayak, right? That's what I thought. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Nancy Dean. First half of the show, we're talking about river safety. Nancy, do you recall many fishing-related issues on the rivers?
Probably not so much fishing related. I think most of the ones that I'm aware of, at least, are just people recreating on the river. So, you know, students from we've had students from Humboldt State who are unfamiliar with our rivers, you know, have gotten caught, and even locals who just, you know, have.
Go ahead. Too many six packs.
No, I haven't said that. No. You know, they've just underestimated what it can do.
Well, and with the little ones, too. Yeah. I would think that's, you know, if you're in the under 10 category, even if you're really well familiar and you're on the swim clubs and that kind of stuff, rivers are different.
Yeah, parents should really show an example. And, you know, they may not think that the life jackets are really sexy and that's what you want to wear when you're on the... when you're out on the, you know, right next to the river, but if you're going to show an example for your kids, that's what you have to do.
So as you look at the same topic, water safety, but now we move to the other side. We're out on the ocean.
We're out on the ocean, right.
We've got riptides. I would suggest 50% of the local community could not define what a riptide is.
Most people probably think of them if you're down in Southern California on the coast of Florida or someplace like that. But we can also have rip tides. I think rip currents. The only problem we probably don't have here is just because the ocean temperatures are so cold, we don't have as many people getting into the water. So we don't have that. But the threat is obviously there.
The steeper slopes. You go to Clam Beach. Okay, low tide, you can't see the water. It's out there because it's pretty flat. You go to Big Lagoon on the spit, and you're looking at an incline of significant proportion. One step out, and you go from your ankle to your knee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that people don't take into consideration or that you guys will hear about? Because then if we have a storm coming in and the tides are a little higher or the swells are a little bit higher, all of a sudden all the landmarks are gone.
Yeah, and I mean that's a problem, and then things change through the year. So, you'll go through the whole summer and the beaches and the underwater, where the sand is underneath the water and how steep the slopes are might be something, and then all of a sudden you're starting getting winter storms coming in, and so they'll act differently than if you wait later into the winter, February, March, April, when we've had a winter storm after winter storm after winter storm, which has moved the sand around, and so it's changed things. So, and you go months, you go from winter to summer, and you may not have remembered what the ocean was doing 6 months ago, and kind of underestimated. And sneaker waves are obviously an issue that we have around here. Unfortunately, way too many deaths.
What is a sneaker wave for folks who haven't been to the coast? We'll hear somebody gets pulled off the jetty, somebody gets pulled off the beach every once in a while, and then you hear, okay, they're rescued most times, or the coasties are involved, and everything works out okay. But you hear the term sneaker wave, and I don't think for those folks who haven't been around or paying attention for the last little bit, what is this thing?
It'll be a case where, you'll can see the ocean and the waves coming in, and they're just basically coming up to the same level on the beach. And then you'll get one that just comes in just quite a bit further in. And so that will be the one that will have enough water and take you back out into the ocean. And now you're into that cold ocean and have the cold paralysis problem again. And so we've had a number of deaths with that, which is why we always tell people to never turn your back on the ocean. It's kind of like closing your eyes and trying to cross the street. So don't do that. And we're starting, I think, to get a little bit handle on being able to look at wave data and get a better handle on those kind of days when we think it's going to be like that.
So there's a variability in this thing. Is it the heat? Is it tides?
It looks like it's more when we've had a big storm farther, way off the coast, and so we've got those waves that are initially coming, starting to come into our coast, but we don't have a lot of waves of our own that are locally generated. So it's those forerunners that come in when you don't have a lot of other local waves, and so you can be looking at the ocean for 10 or 15 minutes and it looks like there's really nothing going on, and then all of a sudden you'll get one of these waves that'll just come way up on the beach.
Why is it one and not multiples?
If people get caught in this and they get that kind of case, we'd like to know about, because we're trying to learn from the near miss situations. We don't want to have to go if someone does die and they were with someone who actually was saved, we don't want to talk to that person, to learn from them. We want to be able to talk to people who maybe got caught in a little near miss, like with all
safety. The grace of Godders.
Yeah, the grace of Godders, okay. Yeah. And, to let us know, because we're trying to build up our database and be able to look at our wave data and the kind of information that we typically look at to get a better handle on forecasting it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the Lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the Lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the Lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Nancy Dean. Nancy is the meteorologist in charge of what? Humboldt County of Northwestern California? What are you in charge of?
Our area of responsibility out of the Eureka office is Del Norte, Humboldt, Mendocino, and Trinity counties. And then we do the marine forecast from Point St. George up in Del Norte County down to Point Arena in Mendocino County.
From Point St. George to Point, God, that's been drilled into me for, well, yeah, probably about 45, 50 years.
Right, yeah.
When you guys used to do the voice of it.
Right.
And we pull that and put it on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Point, gee. Yeah, and then it was a big one, it'd be Point Conception. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're getting to the time of year when we get a lot of sailors who are going up the coast. They're going north, so either, you know, Seattle, British Columbia, folks like that. So, and in the time of year when we get a lot of wind blowing, they'll come into the safe harbor here, and then they're waiting for when are the winds going to drop off. So we'll invariably have people coming into the office.
Knocking on the door,
and, you know, the Harbor District is really good about telling them that our resources there, and they'll
just,
you know,
down
they'll
the street, they have the answers.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why we're actually on Woodley Island.
Because of the interaction with the folks on the water?
Yeah, yeah, and the Harbor District worked really hard to get us actually physically there.
What's the relationship between the Weather Service and the Coasties? Are you as intertwined as what would seem to be logical?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously use our data, and they've been really helpful for us. The bar cam that's now, you can take a look at the bar, is a project between the Harbor District and the Coast Guard, and so, you know, that we're working closely with them. When it looks like we're going to have we've got thunderstorms or something that are coming into the coastal waters, you know, we'll let them know. And we had a case here back a couple months ago when pretty strong thunderstorms were coming in. We gave them a call, let them know. They actually had a helicopter in the air, and were able to get that helicopter on the ground. Thunderstorm and all the strong winds passed, and they were able to get back up again. So
I'm sure somebody said thanks.
Yeah. And
do thunderstorms pop up out of nowhere? Or are they as predictable? Are they like the sleeper waves, or sneaker waves, we were talking about before? Or is it easier to recognize them?
No, they're easier to recognize, and you can see them. You can see them building. You know, you can look at either off our radar or off our off the satellite imagery and see them develop as they're starting. And like the sneaker waves, it's, you know them when they finally show up on your beach.
Yeah. Imagine that. How much influence does the tide or swells have with a local weather event? Is there any at all?
Probably not so much on the tides. I mean, there might be cases where if someone's driving on 101 between Arcata and Eureka, you might see a case where the tide's been out and it's been a sunny day and it'll warm up.
Kind of the fog off the
yeah, mud. Yeah, yeah, and you'll kind of see that. It definitely does have big situation in influence when you're trying to get on a boat and you're trying to get in or out of the bar and what the wave steepnesses are on the bar. So it definitely has a big impact on that. So anytime we're briefing that sailor who's trying to get north, that's what we finish up with is, you know, on our forecast briefing for them is, okay, and these are the bar conditions. So
how big are the holes in the side of your boat to let the water out? Yeah. When somebody's new to the area, my sense is that one of the things that they kind of go, about is the fog.
Mm-hmm.
We have days like last week that were blue, 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 and we have other days that it's just, you know, you can cut it with a knife. How do you describe to somebody who's unfamiliar with the area, what is fog, where does it come from, how come some days it's so thick, and some days it's really not a factor?
I mean, in the summertime, the problems are with where we have high pressure and how strong it is, how strong the onshore flow is. And so last week when we had actually a fair amount of sunshine, or there might be clouds in the morning, but they kind of burned off pretty quick. We had a lot of strong winds that were kind of mixing the atmosphere a little bit. When you've got high pressure over and it's just sitting there in an onshore flow, then it'll stay in for a long, long period of time. And you might get an hour or two of sunshine in the afternoon, and that's about it. But, I mean, we have people who call the office when the temperatures get up into the 70s and they say it's too hot. When can we cool it down?
Well, apparently people have been really believing those press releases Troy's been sending out, huh? Where does fog come from?
Well, you've got to have moisture. So when you've got the temperature and the dew point, which is a measure of moisture, when they're close to the same, then you're going to have condensation. You're going to have that fog developing.
And that's why the valley has such thick fog.
In the winter time when they might have cold air that's kind of settled in, maybe they've had some rain and cold air settle in and it just gets trapped in there, so they get that strong tule fog that's really hard to break up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think particularly a lot of folks who haven't been away from the coast either think that it's only something that happens around the oceans. Well, if that was the case, or the Great Lakes, I suppose you could say the Great Lakes,
right,
too. They've not been in on a river and seen the river fog.
Mm-hmm.
They've not been in the valley and seen the tule fog. They've not been out of the area to really get a sense that there are some different causing agents here.
Right.
And the consistency, obviously, is water.
Got to have the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that. KINS, News and Information Times, 441. We'll be back with more from Nancy Dean.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Nancy Dean. Nancy, as you look at summertime, the weather patterns that are coming in, what constitutes a normal summer weather pattern for you, and what would constitute a unique summer weather pattern?
Well, for the coast, normal is probably more getting the late night and morning, low clouds and fog, and it clears out in the afternoon if you're...
High 64 and
yep.
Lows 53.
Yep. You know, if you're in Willow Creek and Gasky and, you know, places up further inland, you know, then you're getting, it's sunny and you're getting temperatures in the 90s. You got to watch out for, in the summertime, thunderstorms developing. So... you know, getting clouds, and in their case, their clouds are developing in the afternoon and potentially getting showers or some thunderstorms. So that would be typical.
I recall last year we got a lot of the EAS notifications with thunderstorm, either lightning strikes,
right,
or just thunderstorms and the possibility of... Those happen in the afternoon, late afternoon?
Yeah, they're typically more late afternoon and evening hours, so they... you get enough heating during the day, and so they'll pop in the late afternoon and evening. Now, an unusual situation is to get lightning in the overnight and early morning hours. And typically on some like that, you either have a really strong system that's coming in and doing that, And a lot of cases when we've had dry lightning and we've had fire starts getting going, they tend, a lot of times they'll be a case where we'll get those overnight, early morning.
Now you use the phrase dry lightning.
Yes.
As contrasted to lightning coming out of the thunderstorms themselves, there's lightning that doesn't have a precipitation component?
Yeah, generally with dry lightning, you're not getting a lot of rain with those, so you might be getting some, but not a lot. And then the other problem with any kind of thunderstorm, you still can get lightning that occurs well away from the actual thunderstorm itself and can get fire starts from something like that. So as we move towards the summer, fires and is going to be a concern. And that's actually another part that the Weather Service does is fire weather forecasting.
Working with CDA,
Cal Fire, and the Forest Service, and yeah, and folks like that. So we write a special forecast, especially for fire weather.
Will you use the lookouts? Those few that still exist, or like I know a lot of times the county will use people and they'll just make their observations and they'll either email in or call in or whatever else in the information. Does the Weather Service use real people, real observations?
We'll use observations from wherever we can get. So we have official spotters who we've provided training to. And so they're official part of ours, but we've just started our Twitter feed, and we've got Facebook, finally moving into the social media realm. And so if people want to see something and send us a report for that, we'll do that. They can call us on the phone. So
guys, just go to your website, and in theory, you can find it easily.
Yeah, if they go to our website, on the bottom left is our links to our Facebook and Twitter feeds.
I say easily because there's so many of us. I'm now using the phrase many, many of us who really don't know what you're talking about. And proudly so. Well, thanks for coming by. Hopefully we'll have a relatively mild summer and cross our fingers and see what happens in July.
Yes, we want to make sure people can see the fireworks and not have colored fog.
Yeah, that's right. You guys do get a little bit more fallout when there's fog, don't you? We've been Talking Shop with Nancy Dean. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.